Good afternoon. Welcome to this afternoon's edition of the Richard Urban Show. We bring you news and views from the unification principle point of view. And today, we're very happy to have Kevin Christian on to discuss about family strengthening, family breakdown. He was a primary candidate, Republican primary for the governor. And indeed, and we're very happy to have you on. So if it's okay, I'll share a few slides, and then that'll help prime our discussion, I think.
That'd be great.
A premise to break the generational cycle of outside of wedlock birth, we need a revolution of absence-centered education. Mm. Parents should present the expectation of sexual absence before marriage to their children, regardless of whether or not they abstain themselves. They should think about what is best for their children's future and speak honestly about their own situation. School and community-based programs such as Urban Life Training can back up parents in making this revolution. In one generation, this can break the cycle of outside of wedlock births and all of the related personal and societal consequences.
Mm-hmm.
So here we see a chart of outside of marriage births in West Virginia. So we see around from all the way from the 50s, start 5%, still around up to 10% around the early 70s. But now about half or 47% of all births in West Virginia outside of marriage. Teaching sexual abstinence before marriage is integrally related to creating a safe and healthy environment for our children. So here we see, this is from the Youth Risk Behavior Surveillance System, that, and this is national, but it holds up, you know, pretty much similarly in each state,
mm-hmm.
that among ninth grade high school students, about 2 in 10 have had sexual intercourse. But by the time they graduate in 12th grade, 6 in 10 students have had sexual intercourse. Mm-hmm. Clearly, that's very concerning for parents and for anyone, for the youth themselves. You know, that's a high rate of sexual activity. Here's our mission at Urban Life Training. Our full name is Urban Life Training and Reality Assessment Teen Choice. That's the nonprofit station I founded. Mission: Urban Life Training raises youth leaders to develop good character and to model and teach about the benefits of sexual abstinence in preparation for marriage and successful family formation. We provide directive abstinence-centered health education through our community network of trained parents and community leaders. Urban Life Training chapters carry out the Urban Life Training mission in their local areas. So it's decentralized. Here's some scriptural quotes that are relevant. It's from the family rooted in absolute sexual ethics, which is a model for God's absoluteness, peace, and ideal in the global kingdom. This is a speech given by Reverend Sum Myung Moon. Respected leaders from around the world, what do you think is God's ultimate purpose for creating human beings? It is to experience joy through relating with ideal families filled with true love. What does an ideal family look like? When God first created human beings, he made Adam representing all men and Eve representing all women, with the intention that they become owners of true love. Then what was the quickest way for them to cultivate a character of true love? Simply put, it was to secure a parent-child relationship with God, whereby they could live in attendance of God as their father and form a model family embodying God's ideal of peace. They were to have followed the path of living as one family with God, experiencing joy eternally. God created Adam and Eve and installed them as the first ancestors of humankind to form the model family and establish the ideal of peace. He committed himself completely to raising them as his son and daughter, who were to be encapsulations of the entire cosmos, mediators between the spiritual and physical worlds, and lords of creation, and who would be joined with him through true love, true life, and true lineage. Ladies and gentlemen, it was necessary for Adam and Eve to establish a model ideal family of peace. God, the Absolute Being, created human beings as his children in order to instill in them absolute values on the basis of an absolute standard. Thus, human beings must follow the way of that absolute standard in keeping with the demands of the heavenly path. This means we must follow our destined life course in order to attend God, the Absolute Being, as our parent. In other words, for people to perfect themselves in resemblance of God and obtain the stature of people of character, who can be called sons and daughters of the Absolute Being, they must follow the path based on the absolute standard God has determined. The essence of this path is a standard of absolute sexual purity. The first stage is maintaining absolute sexual purity prior to getting married. After we are born, we go through a process of growth. We pass through infancy and childhood in a very safe and secure environment, embraced in our parents' love and protection. We then enter the time of adolescence, which signals the start of a new and dynamic life as we forge relationships on a totally new level with those around us, as well as with all things of creation. This is a moment when we begin to travel the path to becoming an absolute human being, internally through the perfection of our character, and externally by reaching adulthood. Yet at this time, there's an absolute requirement people must fulfill, no matter who they are. This is a requirement of maintaining their purity, which is a model of absolute sexual morality for human beings. God gave it to his children as their destined responsibility and duty to be carried out in order to fulfill the ideal of creation. This heavenly path is thus the way toward perfecting the model of absoluteness in conjugal love. So that's the quote there. This is a slide we use in our presentation with the youth. Mm-hmm. To avoid poverty, graduate from high school, get a full-time job, and wait until 21 and married before having children. If you follow all these rules, there's just a 2% chance that you'll be living in poverty in the future. But if you don't follow any of these rules, there's a 74% chance. So that's quite clear.
Mm-hmm.
So I see a two-tiered solution to the problem of really family breakdown, which is driving, in my estimation, all other problems in society, whatever they may be. First of all, teach sexual abstinence before marriage and fidelity within marriage to our children. So we need education. Secondly, create a movement of marriage as God-centered. UnionStation.love is a matching site where singles who practice sexual abstinence before marriage or have returned to sexual abstinence before marriage can find a marriage partner. And UnionStation.love is a project of Urban Life Training, and it's now up and running too. So you or anyone else, or those you know, or your children can join them. Mm-hmm. And in fact, we encourage parents to work with their children to find their eternal match. Here's what the site looks like. And it's not only also for singles, but married couples can also take advantage of the Marriage Blessing Preparation Course, which really is a marriage strengthening course. So I just thought, like, if anything you'd like to share, like, what is your view of how to strengthen families and what you think about what I said and that premise and plan and just your thoughts and your insight?
I agree with you. The destruction of the family has spread to the destruction of community. And we're seeing the sort of the ramifications of that process. I agree with all. I think it is about education. I think that's really the root of the problem, is a lack of correct knowledge. Now, how we approach it, I think, abstinence training has previously been, the efficacy has been low. So how can you teach that with, you know, to sort of raise, because that's a good idea to control one's desires.
I got some thoughts on that.
Yeah,
I got a couple thoughts. Yeah, so I think, first of all, the efficacy, it isn't low. Actually, it'd be good to post on my site, you know, the different studies. So what I mean is that a lot of the, there have been some good studies shown that it does reduce the rate of, you know, pregnancy or rate of, sexual activity versus those who haven't had that kind of directive or I like to call it character-based education. Now, typically when you have studies of so-called comprehensive sexual education, which means that they usually they don't directively promote abstinence, or not usually, definitely. So they'll somewhere in there, they'll say you should abstain, but it can receive as little as almost as a mention, you know, to not much right. attention. So then yeah. they go on. And our program actually is comprehensive, not in that sense, but in the sense that we cover everything like disease and STDs and, you know, the consequences, physical, emotional, you know, social of sexual activity. And also we have some information about the use, you know, the downsides of alcohol use, marijuana use, things like that. What we don't cover, we do not demonstrate the use of contraceptives. So we're not going to get a plastic penis and put it up there and have the kids put a condom on. But other than that, you know, we pretty well cover everything else. So I think the idea, like, it's kind of like anything else, but this is a good idea. I will look for those studies and make like a posting on our website, is that, you know, the so-called proof of these like so-called comprehensive programs is weak. Like typically what they're measuring is they say, oh, this is an effective program. Well, what are they measuring? They measure things like more people using condoms. Does that prove anything? Not really. You know what I mean? So they're not really having strong measures of what makes the program effective. So when you really look at it, oh, this program, XYZ program is effective, sex education program. Well, what did it find out? Well, more youth use a condom. Well, did that reduce pregnancy? Did that reduce any other factors? It doesn't really prove anything. You know what I mean?
It does very little for emotional turmoil.
Yeah, exactly. So, but I can look that up. That's a good point. I have studied those studies. I don't have them on top of mind. So subjectively, you know, in our program, we've taught about 3,000 youth. I was involved in that. Me and Stacy, we had about over 200 in clubs, mostly in D.C. I'm about 8 years in West Virginia now, but I am working to get it going all over the state because of the importance of it. So, yeah, I've been to some weddings of some of the students. Yeah, I've met some of the other students in the community, like just happened to bump into them or I've stayed in touch. Some are still abstinent and they're looking for a spouse. Some are married. Others failed to remain absent, but like, for instance, subjectively, I met one young woman. I was at a program for our daughter, and then I think it was a daughter. Yeah, I met her at a school. I think it was like a charter school program or something. And so I didn't recognize her. She's like, oh, Miss Durbin. And she was there with her like 5-year-old daughter or something like that. But she told me specifically, yeah, you know, I was like 16 when I was in your program. I thought I knew what I was doing, but actually in retrospect, I really wish I had paid more attention because, you know, it's not really preferential, or how do you say, I would not, looking back, have really wanted to raise my daughter by myself. So, I mean, you know, subjectively, I think our program has reached a lot of people. And even though, of course, they can't claim it's 100% effective, you know, it's giving an option. So I also look at it this way. Like, we work with a lot of youth from, you know, Southeast D.C. I don't know if you've ever been to D.C., but, you know, so-called city. And so, like, take one young lady, I was chatting with her one day in the club. It's like, oh, hey, Ms. Durbin, you know, my parents aren't married. You know, I don't really know anybody in our community is married. Because, like, with the youth we work with, 75% plus were not from married homes, married parent homes. And they didn't even know people who were married in their community. And so among her peer group, maybe many of the people might have been sexually active. But she thought, oh, you know, hey, that sounds like a really good idea. You know, I think it makes sense. I am going to wait, you know, to have sex, at least till I'm older. She was struggling, honestly, with till married, but she was kind of processing it. But the point I'm getting at is that no one had on the table for her, and certainly not her parents' example or her community, that, hey, this is a really good option. So minimally, you should provide that option to all you. Will everybody take it? No. But if they don't even have the option to begin with, you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, I think it's about controlling desires, and I'm just, when I say the efficacy of abstinence, I know there's some others, you know, spiritual based abstinence programs out there that are a little more militant, and I think that's given a black eye to the idea of sort of.
What do you
this,
mean militant?
You know, you should, you know, you're a terrible person. You know, use shame and fear. Which doesn't seem to be a positive motivator for anyone yet.
Yeah. So, well, our school program, I should point out, I'm glad to share the scriptures. To me, they're very important. And yeah. I like, I was talking to some other guests, I like to feel free to share God and God's word in the public square. But we understand mm-hmm. that in schools, you know, we're not going to be giving scripture quotations, and we don't. But for me personally, and many people, those are important frameworks to frame it, you know.
Well, I like them too. Just some of them beat the youth over the head with it, right? Like, you know, I'm not saying you are. I'm saying
I got you.
Others I've seen, yeah.
Okay,
and that it kind of turns them off because it's about because there's obviously a biological desire there when you hit a certain age,
absolutely.
Right? And it feels natural and it feels right. So just telling them, hey, just that's evil and bad, suppress it, just doesn't, you know, like, I'm not saying that you do this, I'm just saying, like, I've seen it in other programs where it just doesn't seem that of an effective way, like teaching them, like you said, education, knowledge, you know, these are desires and aversions you should learn to control, overcome that natural nature to do things that
yeah.
can cause you suffering,
and,
right?
Yeah, I've got a number of thoughts on that. So that's one of the things why we made, like, if you saw in our mission statement, it says we're working towards successful family formation. So there's a gap, at least for most people. There's not really, like, even I talked to parents in the neighborhood here, and I was just talking to dad. Let's call him Joe. His name's not Joe.
Yeah.
Anyway, and I was saying, well, you know, as a daughter, she's like just graduated high school. I think she's either 17 or 18. Sons who are already grown. I think one's 21. One's older. I think the older one may be married. Not the younger one. So he's saying, don't you think you should be telling your kids to abstain? And he didn't like disagree, but he hadn't told his kids to abstain. So I'm wondering, I think that's a little delinquent, no offense to the parent, but, or take offense
sure.
if you want. What do you mean? He should tell his daughter. Now, if she ignores his advice and all the information he's giving, well, but at least, you know, guide. And also, I think the parents should be involved in the marriage decision. We were involved with our daughter. Of course, it has to be a mutual agreement, but, you know,
sure.
if your child agrees, and they probably will, especially younger children who are like 17, 18, 19, 20, whatever, even a little older, who knows, then you can, like, on our site, we encourage the parents to be involved. You can take the class, which, you know, helps you get on the same footing, and you learn about God-centered principles, and then once you finish and pass that, you know, we have quizzes and stuff. It's almost all self-study. But we have like once a week meetings on Zoom. Otherwise, it's self-study. Then you can put up your profile, and then hopefully you'll meet like-minded people. And mm-hmm. I think, so what I'm trying to say is you don't have to wait till you're 30 or 35. And for especially women, but even men, that's not preferable. You could be married at 21 or 2 or 3 or 4, whatever you like. But, you know,
sure.
so it doesn't have to be a long-distance goal. I don't necessarily think you have to wait so long. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you, because if you find your true love, right? I mean,
right.
that's, you don't know when that's going to happen to you. Just fortunately for me, I was fairly young, and you know, we've been married 32 years. But
wow, bless you!
I was lucky, right? You know, I found the one. So yeah, when it comes along, have the spiritual maturity enough to know that's what you need, right? Like unification, like the name of your movement, right? Like
yeah,
That's what a marriage is, like two selfish people coming together into this one thing.
Right. You like, hit the nail on the head with the selfish thing. I mean, meaning we're working to become unselfish, and a big part of that is uniting in God in marriage.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're absolutely right.
And and not controlling your desires leads to more and more selfish behavior. Not to change the subject abruptly, but I mean, the internet's doing us no favors either, with the
right.
with the availability of a very perverted look at sex and love.
That's right. My previous guest, Joe Early, he was one of the, you may have noticed, one of the candidates mm-hmm. for the Congress. He anyway, we were chatting yesterday. You'll see his show a little behind, but I'm going to get these out in the next couple few weeks. Yours, yeah. And I interviewed a few other people. They were all happened to be candidates this time around. So what I was trying to say is, yeah, he was big on that, and I agree. You know, like if you go in a physical store, you know, presumably if you're under 18, you can't buy pornographic material. But yet when you go on the internet, it's generally not restricted. So he has mm-hmm. an issue with that, you know, should be, yeah. you know.
If you're on a diet, don't go in the donut store. Yeah, it's just right. not helpful. Yeah,
that's right. So that is an important thing. I think, you know, yeah. If you like, I can share my action steps now and we can chat about that too.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, so the action steps. So I'm encouraging, become a member of Urban Life Training. That's our organization, as you know. You gain mm-hmm. access to all the character and absence-centered education materials. And I'm encouraging, and I would ask you, we can discuss on or offline, but form a chapter of Urban Life Training in your local area. Like, you know, would you collaborate to form a chapter? It's really mm-hmm. local initiative. We provide the materials you need. We provide the training you need. It's already actually mm-hmm. online. We encourage you. We give you a structure. You'll be operating as a nonprofit. But I think that we need these educational efforts in every community. And somebody's got to do it. It's not enough, and you can't mm-hmm. for someone else to do it. So I'm encouraging you and I to do it. And secondly, mm-hmm. teach the Urban Life Training program, as we were just saying, and start a STAR Leadership Club. STAR means Students Teaching Apps and Responsibility in your local middle or high school. A big part mm-hmm. of the program is peer counseling and a youth peer support. So that's important.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's fun for the youth. They love it. Yeah. And thirdly, become a member of UnionStation.love, of course, especially if you're single and wants to find your eternal match, but also assist your adult children in finding their eternal match. And you can, if you're married, receive marriage strength education, elevate your marriage to eternal blessed marriage. So that's another action step. Create a public awareness campaign by getting your local board of education to adopt the resolution for character and apps education. We didn't go over that, but we have one. And I want to get that adopted here in Jefferson County. And, you know, you can recruit parents and neighbors to support you. So in other words, it'll stating that the standard should be absence-centered education in your local, in your county. Yeah. So those are the action steps I suggest, you know. And I ask, if you'd like to, you know, what do you think of those? Or if you'd like to help collaborate to form a chapter in your area.
Yeah, I think it's an important idea, and I'm certainly open to it.
Okay.
I may know a couple people.
Or even, you know, like it's more like it's not, yeah, like get a group of people, a couple people, and then see, it's like the mind and body. Like, if, you know, you have to start somewhere. So the first step is this, like thinking, like I was staring at young lady, like it wasn't on her radar, you know, like she's seeing whatever she sees in the community, like deciding, oh, sure. Hey, this is very important. And then, you know, we can put this kind of education in place. It will not absolutely confident, because I've been already doing this for a generation. Like, we founded this in 2003, and it was incorporated, but actually I've been doing some education in schools since 1997. So I think, you know, among those we reached, it had a positive impact. But, of course, we need a large outreach, you know.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
But, yeah, any other thoughts you want to share about it? But those are my action steps. I mean, I want to be real specific because, well, we need something on the ground, and I believe this will really be helpful.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great place to serve, right? We have to do something given the obvious selfishness generally in our society that's driving, like you said, it's the root that's driving many, many, many social issues. it came after the families first, and then it just disintegrated from there, I think. Yeah. So I'd be, yeah, I'm super into family unity, community unity.
Yeah, yeah, maybe your wife would be too. Who knows? Whoever you think.
Yeah, yeah, I'd ask her to come on with me, but she's far less extroverted than I am.
No worries.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, sure. I can think of a couple people that might be interested.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Yeah, I mean, this is very grassroots. The local chapters are autonomous. I mean, yeah, there are some guidelines, obviously, you know, obviously you have to agree with our mission. But as far as when and where and how you'll teach the materials, that's up to you. And we have all the materials for you. So, you know, and yeah, and you can also raise money locally if you want to pay people stipends or stuff like that. I mean, that's up to you. You don't have to. But yeah, so I think it's really, like you say, it's a way to serve. And it is enriching because it's really good to see the youth light up and to think, like I was sharing, about these. And at least you're giving them an option, you know, and they must have this option. It's not like they really need it, you know. We're really cheating our youth if we don't give it to them.
We are. I mean, I think they get the idea it's corny or old-fashioned or something. And it's just as relevant today as it's ever been.
Yeah, it's actually pretty cool. And if you get in that peer group, and I think as it spreads more, it'll become more and more cool. We found that in surveying the youth, we give a few presentations in the classroom. It varies, but usually about four. And then, of course, we can give more, but, you know, based on time constraints. Then we survey the youth in a questionnaire, would you like to join a club? And usually we find about 20% say yes. And then when we actually announce a club meeting, like typically we have them at lunchtime in the middle or high schools. We worked with middle and high schools. Mm-hmm. Then about 10% of those half of those youth who signed up will show up. In other words, a total of 10%. So you might have a nice group of 10 or 15 students, which is actually a nice little group. And then we train mm-hmm. them to be peer counselors, and they go in the classroom. And part of our program is peer counseling. So it's kind of a positive cycle.
Yeah, yeah. I'm super into.
Yeah, yeah.
Teaching peer love.
You can sign up for our website. There's a nominal fee, like we have a $49 a year, but it helps support us. Or if you just become a chapter, you know, there's a fee to become a chapter. You get access to all that too. And it explains on our website. I could send you links, but you can also find it. I can share here at our website, urbanlifetraining.org. We have the material. So that's our website here, Urban Life Training, just like it sounds, .org. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you can see, you can become a member right here on our front page. And then you'll see that there are different levels of membership, individuals, school or organization. But if you're a chapter, you automatically get membership in this. And then it explains here about what chapters do, ULT chapters. And then that's some of the college youth we worked with in from Howard University.
I love those smiles.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, man. These young people were great. Sairita, she's married now. I'm not sure about the other young lady. But, yeah, so we have local chapters or campus chapters. Unless you're a student, you wouldn't be forming a campus chapter. But if you do know students at any college or university, we have a campus chapter model, too, and they can form a campus chapter, which would be really cool. But so for local chapters, you can click here, and then you'll find out. That's a good picture. You can find out, you know, the different things. Chapter application for organizations or individuals. So you could apply as an organization, like if you have an organization, like a nonprofit, or if your church wanted to do it, or your civic club, that's okay. Or just mm-hmm. an individual, two or more individuals. And then you mm-hmm. sign an agreement and you send it to us and stuff, a reference form. And then we'll check that out and you'll be ready to go. And chapter is $100 a year. And yeah, that includes all of the materials on our website.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Got to cover the costs.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty nominal. That's right. Yeah. So, but you can fundraise and stuff. And we have some tools we can make available if you want to do like crowdfunding and stuff. Or not. I mean, it's up to you as a chapter what you want to do with that. But
the public schools are pretty open. Have you found it pretty?
Yeah. So I found so. Yes. So we started in D.C. So I worked with about, I think, a total of about a dozen schools over the years, maybe like or 10 or 12 schools, maybe like half high schools and half middle schools. So, yeah. So what I found is that so some of the so I recommend approaching the principal. I mean, yes, I did mention doing a resolution of the Board of Education. But the Board of Education isn't going to determine whether you go to any individual school. The principal is. So I recommend, you know, that's a good exercise and it's good to build awareness. But actually, if you want to work on the ground, I recommend just go to the principal of the school. And if you live in a rural area, maybe there's just one middle and one high school. I don't know. But in here, we have six in our county, four middle and two high schools. And then you can approach the principal. And you will show them a few of the materials, which are on here on our member login area. So you go there, and then you can access all of the materials that we have. And we have a lot of different materials that you can access.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then you could show some of those materials to the principal, and they'll... If they're like principals I met, which a lot of them are, you'll say, wow, that's great. Why don't you talk to Mr. Smith? He's the health teacher. Or Mrs. Lee, she's the English teacher, whatever. And then you'll make some schedule to come in and go to their classroom.
Yeah.
And sometimes the principal will reject, of course. They might say they're not interested or whatever. Of course, they should be. But I think a good number of the principals will receive you.
Oh, yeah, I was curious. Thanks.
You bet. By, experience that we have. Yeah, we have a lot of materials on our website, in the member area, and some also in the, otherwise, some are available, but you don't have to log in. Like, we have a lot of videos here. These are some of the videos. Some of them are about the program. Like, these are some of the retreats we held, some of the videos, short videos we made, testimonies. Like, that's the young lady you saw in the picture giving a testimony, other people giving testimonies, all kinds of different things. You can. This is a youth forum we had, some of the young people speaking out. Yeah, so a bunch of stuff you can look at. This, actually, you don't have to log in to see any of this. But, yeah, and we have a lot of materials, obviously, in our login area too. So yeah, lots of things that can help you can use in the community. And of course, you can use them with your own family and friends too.
I think we see pretty eye to eye on how to serve that. I think it's important. Like you said, to have the just talk about it, right? Like, at least give them the option.
Exactly. And if someone has cold feet about, like, going to a classroom or something, you know, everybody does. I did. I'm not, like, I was never a certified teacher ever. It's more a matter of heart and that you care. Then you'll practice materials at home a few times, and then you'll do it. And the more you do it, the more better you'll get at it, just like anything else.
Yeah. Love's the most important ingredient. The rest of it will come along,
Exactly. Because you care. That's right. Expressing that love for people by caring. And, you know, and on the youth, teachers and parents love this program. They were like, love their program. They'll appreciate it.
Well, I think a lot of them struggle to talk about these things, because maybe it was awkward for them, because it's sort of a generational phenomenon, to course correct that would be a nice service. Yeah,
so that's right. So, I mean, I do encourage parents to, like, come clean on it or whatever you want to call it. Like, however they feel they need to talk. Like, you know, first of all, talk to the kids, like you said. That's right. Parents may not talk about it. That's not unusual, but they should. And then if they have to, like, come clean, like, if you know, with their children, like, you know, really, Sally, I didn't do this, but, you know, I really wish I had. You know, that's part of the conversation.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Of course, I've had parents, you know, tell me, I've heard some parents, of course, say different things like, you know, oh, you know, they didn't abstain. Maybe they're not comfortable with it, or they don't think it's important, but it is important to, you know, like you said.
Yeah, if you go into that kind of blind, it can, like, well, you have the statistics. It can cause a lot of problems, especially in a world that's already kind of hard, right? Like, it's, you don't need any more hassles.
That's right. I mean, that even from that aspect, we should give the option to the young people. Because like you're saying, those statistics, like, so you're ready setting off on a difficulty, heartbreak, or if you got pregnant, or even if not, you know, if you got an incurable STD, which is not that uncommon or whatever, you know, then that's going to make it harder for you. And it's also going to make it harder for you to get married if you do in the future want to get married.
Yeah, 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 for sure. Yeah, I like it.
Great. Okay, well, let's be in touch. I'll send the link, but you see it there. You know, so if you want to apply or just have questions and stuff to be a chapter, you know, talk to your friends, whoever you're thinking of, that'll be great if we can get more and more people out there doing it in each community. It'll definitely have a beneficial effect.
Yeah, I agree. It will.
That's beautiful. Any thoughts, Stace?
Yeah, there's one session in the curriculum where we ask the young people to think about goals they want to set.
Yes.
And then what would happen if you got pregnant or an STD to those goals?
Yeah.
You know, think about that.
Yeah, it's important to. In the heat of the moment, your rational brain tends to disappear.
Yeah, we talk about stuff like that, or the fact that like 60% of sexually transmitted diseases are related to alcohol consumption.
Yes.
Well, why? It seems, if you think about it, it's pretty obvious. Your inhibitions are down, then you have sex, then you can get an STD. But those things need to be stated, like you said, and thought about.
Yeah. Yeah, honest conversations. I like it.
Great. Wow, this has been a fruitful discussion.
Well, thanks for having me. I was so glad to see your information.
Absolutely. Okay. Let's be in touch. If you have any questions or anything, of course, you know, you can email or call me, whatever you want to do. And well, that'll be great. I look forward to working with you.
Yeah, very cool. Nice to meet you, Stacy.
Nice to meet you.
Okay. So this has been the Rich Urban Show. We're grateful. And also hope that you can also do the same in your local community. So contact us at urbanlifetraining.org. And we hope to hear from you soon. God bless, and we'll see you next time.